supplies, that would be very hard to do. And so forth. And so they were getting told to do your job. And then you skip down to verse 19, it says here, and the officers of the children of Israel, the ones that were the managers, the ones that were in charge of making sure that they were getting done what they were supposed to get done, they were there. And it says here, did see that they were in an evil case. They were getting chewed out for not having enough bricks made, and they didn't have enough supplies to make it. And so maybe he was feeling a little bit sorry for them or whatever. And it says here, and after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily tasks. They wanted them to have the same amount, even though you know they were complaining or they were not having what they needed, things like that. So in context, we see here, Moses had just went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh, we know the story. He said yes and hardened his heart, and yes and hardened his heart several times. All the plagues and things like that happened. But this was in the context here. He was a little bit upset. They weren't getting the bricks done, and then now they're wanting to leave and go worship on their own, things like that. So he increased the burden and said, "I want this done every day. This is your daily task," and so forth. And so, as far as we're concerned, I guess, maybe Christianity, we're encouraged from the Bible to do more, or maybe to take our task more seriously as we see the day approaching. I quoted a little bit of this verse this morning. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And of course, if you look at the shape of our world, the shape of our nation, and things like that, it could cause you to think that Jesus may be coming soon because of the situation and things like that. And so maybe we ought to take our daily task a little bit more serious as we see the day approaching. And so we're going to look tonight at 10 daily tasks of a Christian. And don't let that number scare you. I'll go fast through several of them and bring out some things on a few of them. But 10 daily tasks of a Christian. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to have the mindset that we want to please you, make you proud. And Lord, the way to do that is to take our daily tasks seriously, Lord, so that we can stand before you one day and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just want to write these down and write the references, because I'll go through them quickly. If you're a fast Bible turner, you can look at them. But the first one we're going to see that we're going to have to do daily, according to the Bible, the first one is, and I preached the whole sermon on this the last time I was here, the first one is fight Satan and his oppressors daily. You mark it down. If you're going to try to turn over a new leaf or set a New Year's resolution to be a better Christian, the devil's not going to be happy with that. He's not going to say, okay, I'm just going to leave them alone. They're determined. They've got their mind made up. No, he's going to do his part to fight you on that. And so we're going to have to. So you can write down Psalm 13:2 that says this, and how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And so, again, as a person that's pretty much a perfectionist, my wife tells me all the time I have OCD, all that kind of stuff. Like I told you this morning, "What'll sore your hand findeth do" is a great verse, things like that. I want to be perfect. I want things to go perfect. And the devil's going to do his best not to let that happen. And so I see here that David's like, oh, how long? I mean, I'm taking counsel. I'm seeking, but I still have sorrow. I'm trying my best to do what God would have me to do, and here my enemy is exalted over me. And so we see here we're going to have to fight Satan daily. A couple other verses you can write down. Psalm 40, verse 10. It says this, "As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" So the devil has his, what we might call, oppressors. Little imps, maybe even people, just like a person can be used of God, I think a person can be used of Satan and ask doubtful disputations, the Bible says, and always talk about like that. So some people, they might not be Christians, maybe somebody you've witnessed to or you've tried to be an example to, and they see you going through something that the devil has caused, and they might ask you that question, well, where's your God? You know, I thought you Christians had everything, had it all together. I thought nothing went wrong for you Christians. I thought, you know, everything was a bed of roses for you Christians. Where's your God? Why would he let you do this. And so again, you try to do right, you're going to have to fight Satan daily. Another one is Psalm 56:1. Psalm 56:1 says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me." And we'll read one other. Psalm 56:2 says this, "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High." So again, you say, all right, we got 2023. I'm going to have a better year this year than I had last year in my Christian life, my Christian walk. That's wonderful. But again, be ready. Satan's going to come up and tell you. He'll tell you stuff like, you're not even saved. He'll tell you that. You know, if you were saved, this was, you know, you would think this way and things like that. He'll even tell you that. He'll try to get you to doubt your salvation. You're going to have to fight that. He will attack you with what we call, or what the Bible calls, our besetting sin. That one thing that we battle every day of our life. Satan's going to bring it out. He's going to do everything he can. And if he can't get you beat down, he'll try to jump over here on this side and pump you up. Puff you up with pride. Oh, you are the greatest thing since sliced bread. You're the best Christian in that church. You are the you know, everybody in your family thinks you've got it all together. You're this, and he'll try to build you up. You're going to have to fight that daily. He will tell you that you're good for nothing. He'll tell you that. So we're going to have to fight Satan daily. Second thing we'll have to do daily is this. Perform our vows. Perform our vows. Obviously, I've made vows unto my wife, and I try to perform them every day. I told her I loved her and her only. I'm your husband, and that's it. We're going to be married forever, and so forth. But I've also made some vows to God. And again, especially around the new year, we make resolutions, or we make say, Lord, this is I read this much of my Bible last year, so I want to read this much this year. That's good. That's growth. You know, I prayed this many prayers, or I led this many souls, or whatever, and we want to try to make a vow unto God. The Bible talks about it. In Psalm 61:8 says this, "So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." You know, again, I remember a long time ago learning my ABCs. I learned the song, and I could sing them. And I could tell them, you know, now I've said them, you come and sing along with me, that kind of stuff. There's little songs that you might sing to remember all the presidents or all the states and all the capitals and things like that. It helps you. Hymn singing is awesome for you. It worships the Lord, but it teaches you doctrine. It helps put that in there so you can help perform your vows. The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make it and go back on it or make it and break it. You ought not have done it. And then it says here, you know, the Bible also says, "I've opened my mouth and I cannot go back." So if I've said I want to read my Bible every day, I've got to do that. I've got to do that daily. If I've said I'll pray every day, I've got to do that daily. If I've said I've opened my mouth, I cannot go back, I'm going to be more soul conscious this year. I'm going to look for opportunities to witness to people. And you have to actually do it. You've opened your mouth, you cannot go back. I will do your will every day of my life, Lord. These are vows that we've made. And so singing helps us do that according to that one verse. There's the hymn, "Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause to worry or fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day he that deems best." And so we have day by day, and there's another one, "Come thou fount." The last verse of "Come thou fount" says this, "O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be." If we look and see how much that we owe God, that constrains us and makes us want to serve Him. "Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above." So we see here, we sing, and that will help us do those vows, keep our vows. So number one was fight Satan every day. Number two, keep your vows every day. Here's a good one. Number three, unload his benefits. Unload his benefits. I don't know if you've unloaded anything before. Growing up, I've loaded and unloaded hay. I've loaded and unloaded wood. I've loaded and unloaded groceries. We get it. But the Bible says that we ought to unload his benefits every day. Psalm 68:19 says this, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." And that word Selah there means just think about it. In other words, think about his benefits. This will help you get through those fighting Satans and help you get to the point where you can keep your vows. If you'll just unload his benefits. You might call them fringe benefits, but God has lots of benefits. So we ought to take time to think about those benefits. I've heard it said that if you take time to be thankful, you will definitely be thankful. Because if you can think about what God's done to you and the benefits that you have, your salvation ought to help you be very, very happy and excited when you think about your salvation. How about forgiveness? Yeah, we needed forgiveness when we got saved, but I've needed it a lot since then too. But I ought to think about that benefit. That's the benefit that God gives me. I can 1 John 1 night and be clean in God's presence just like that. That's a benefit that we have. Take time to unload those benefits. Think about heaven. The Bible tells us to comfort one another with those words. Unload that benefit. Take advantage of the Holy Spirit. Have a relation with Him. That's a benefit that God gives us. Take advantage of the Bible. Take advantage of prayer. And obviously, think about answered prayer. Take advantage of His provision, His guidance, His wisdom. All those things, those are benefits that God has packaged for us. All we got to do is unload them. And if we'll do that daily and think about it, we'll be blessed of God. Number four, praise the Lord daily. So again, if we unload those benefits, I guarantee you we will be praising God for His blessings. Psalm 72:15 says this, "And he shall live, and to him shall be given to the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall be praised." Again, if you think about and unload his benefits, praise ought to come out of your mouth. You can't help yourself. And we ought to praise God daily. Number five, we ought to pray unto him daily. And here's a couple of verses for this one. Psalms 86:3, "Be merciful unto me, O God, I cry unto you daily." So if we're going to fight Satan, and we're going to keep those vows, and we're going to think about those benefits, we're going to have and praise him, we're going to have to talk to him as well. "I cry unto you daily." Psalm 88:9 says this, "My eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I call daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee." So we're going to have to pray daily as well. Number six. Read the Scriptures daily. Couple verses for this one. Matthew 6:11 says this, "Give us this day our daily bread." Of course, we need food to be sufficient in our physical life. We need spiritual food as well. And that's the Word of God, the bread of life. And the Bible tells us, "Give us this day our daily bread." Luke 11:3 says this, "Give us day by day our daily bread." I need it. Again, we talked about this morning a little bit about trying to fill up teenage boys. It's impossible. They're talking about the next meal as they finish this meal. Because they're always, most of the time, they're always burning that off and so forth. And so they can afford to eat that, and it burns off those calories. But just like we have to have physical food, there's some of us that have our favorite food or favorite several foods and things like that, and we just long it. I know, like, obviously, around Thanksgiving, I'm looking forward to turkey dressing and cranberry sauce. I like to have a little piece of turkey, a little piece of dressing, and a little piece of cranberry sauce all at one time in my mouth. I like all three of those together. Most of the time, I'm a one food at a time person. Spread it out, don't let it touch. Eat this pile, eat this pile, eat this pile. But at Thanksgiving, I think about a little turkey, a little dressing, a little bit of cranberry sauce mushed together, and I like it. I look forward to having it, and so forth. And there are certain times that there's a place called Dreamette right down below our house. It's an ice cream place. If I can drive by that and I see it, and something goes wrong with my truck, it pulls in there every time. I like to have it. But spiritually speaking, I got to have the Bible every day of my life. When I finally get coherent enough to know that I'm actually awake, that's the first thing I want to do is read my Bible. I got to have it daily. So we ought to read our Bible. Give us this day our daily bread. Day by day, I have to have it. Number seven, take up your cross. Take up your cross. And this is a hard one. Obviously, fighting Satan is a little bit difficult. We need God's help. We need God's strength. We need the Bible. We need all kinds of things to be able to fight him. But the other ones make sense. We ought to praise him. We ought to unload those benefits. We ought to read our Bible. We ought to pray. But here's one that's tough. It says that we have to take up our cross daily. So, a lot of times, we talked about this at the beginning, where those people are like, where's your God? Why are you going through that if you're a Christian? Okay, God's ways are higher than our ways. His mind is higher than our mind. He allows things to come into our life for our good, if we'll let it. We wouldn't have chosen it, but He put it there. So sometimes it's a cross to bear. What did Paul say? Lord, take this away from me. And God didn't. And he went a second time. Lord, please, take this away from me. And God didn't. He went a third time and said, Lord, take this away from me. And he did not. But he said, I will give you the grace to live with it. And so sometimes we have a cross that we have to bear. And the Bible says in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So there's some of us that God's going to, I don't know if make or allow would be the best word, but to have something that we've got to carry pretty much every day in our life. It's a cross. But if you think of it this way, no cross, no crown. If you think of it this way, we might have to give up earthly ease and comfort sometimes to be the testimony that God wants us to be. That cross has to be picked up every day. And I got a couple of these listed out here. There's some people that have a sickness that they may have asked God to heal them of, and He chose not to. We ought not pout. We ought not get mad at God. Just like Paul didn't get mad at God. He didn't pout. He went on and became one of the greatest Christians that this world's ever known. With his thorn in the flesh. With his cross he had to pick up every day. Did he say it was easy? No. But he picked it up every day and he went and preached. He picked it up every day and he prayed. And he picked it up every day and he went and started a church in Colossae and Philippi. And he did all this. But he was carrying that thorn in the flesh that he had. So sometimes we have to say, Lord, I have this disease. I wished I didn't have it. But I know your ways higher than my ways and your mind's higher than my mind, and I have faith in you that you want me to live with it. Please give me the grace, and so I'm going to pick it up today and I'm going to still follow you. It's tough. There's a disappointment that sometimes we like, God, I wouldn't have chosen that. I wouldn't have allowed that to happen, and I'm disappointed that it did. But we ought not pout. We ought not turn our back on God. Say, I'm disappointed with this, but God, I know you're smarter than I am, and I know you're doing this for some reason or another. I may not know till I get to heaven, but we might say, well, when I get there, I'm going to ask Him. Chances are we won't. When we get there, we'll just fall flat on our face and worship Him, how wonderful He is. But we see here that we might have to pick up that disappointment. There's a burden that some of us have. I know lots of people in our home church that have wayward children. Did they stop coming to church because they have a wayward child? No. Did they stop reading their Bible because they have a wayward child? No. Did they stop going soul winning because they have a wayward child? No. But I know it's hard. But you know what they have to do every day? They have to pick up that cross. And they might have the mindset that, hey, if that prodigal ever does come home, where was that dad? Sitting on the porch where he left him. So if my child ever does come back to church or come back to God, he's going to find me right here, just like the prodigal did. And he has to carry that every day. Every day. So daily he had to pick up. So some heartache we have. Again, I wouldn't choose it. I do not like it when my wife is in pain with her arthritis. Okay, I'm like, Lord, she serves you with her life. Every day. Give it to me. I deserve it. She doesn't. But she has to pick it up and carry it every day. My mom and dad, my brother was killed. That's a heartache that they have to bear every day of their life. But you know what they do? They pick it up daily and they follow Him. So I'm not sure what it is, but we see here, according to the Bible, that if it's a sickness or a disappointment or a burden or a heartache or something that we don't understand, if we want to please God, we're going to have to pick up that cross daily and follow Him. Number eight. What do we need to do daily? We need to be in one accord. Acts 2:46-47. Acts 2:46-47, it says here, and they, talking collectively, continued daily in one accord. in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such shall be saved. So again, a Christian, a group of Christians, obviously a Lighthouse Baptist Church is a group of Christians. I've enjoyed being here all the times that I've been here. And it seems like to me that everybody is daily in one accord. Again, the Bible says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Okay? But the only thing that can kill a church is what goes on inside a church. And if it's not daily in one accord, that's exactly what the devil wants, to start breaking people up, start having arguments, things like that. But we see here that the devil, that God, when He sees people joining together in one accord, He adds to the church daily. Now, we might think, if God's adding to the church, that's more people. And I'm fine with that. I'm great. That's what God did throughout all of Paul's churches. That's what He did. He added, at Antioch, He added 5,000 souls that day. But there's a lot more that God adds to the church than just people. He adds to the people that's in the church their faith, if they're in one accord. He adds to the church strength, if they're in one accord. He adds to the church grace, if they're in one accord. And yes, then He will add souls into the church. So we ought not, as a church, hold grudges or have disagreements that we're going to fight about, things like that. But it says, and again, I've seen churches this way. They have what we might call a clique or a group inside the group. This group gathers up over here and they're talking about that group over there. And this group gathers up. No. We're going to have to be in one accord daily, according to the Bible. Here's another one, number 9, Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. Hebrews 3:13 says this, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest that any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We ought to encourage each other. That's our job as Christians, as fellow Christians. We ought to encourage each other daily. And you can do that through prayer. You can do that through inventions of the day. You can text people and encourage them. You can personal message people and encourage them. If you see them, you can encourage them. You see them at church, you can encourage them. But we're supposed to encourage each other daily. Now, a lot of times it doesn't even have to be a text or a message or a sentence. It can just be seeing each other. It's encouraging. Like I say, this morning it was encouraging to me to see this whole auditorium full. That was encouraging. So just presence sometimes encourages. If you invite someone to church and lo and behold they show up, that's encouraging. Just their presence. And so we see that we can encourage one another daily. And then the last one, number 10, we're supposed to die daily. Die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31 tells us to die daily. We're supposed to die to self. Again, to be able to pick up that cross and carry it daily, you're going to have to die to self. To be able to stay in one accord, you're going to have to die to self. I've seen people, get in a tiff over a pew that they sit on. I've been sitting there for 35 years. That visitor came in and sat right on my pew. Okay, just slide to the next one. All right, you're going to have to die daily. I've been parking in that spot for 14 years and they come in and parked in my spot. You're going to have to die. I heard Lester Roloff say one time, I've never seen a corpse get offended. He said, I've seen a lot of corpses, preached a lot of funerals, been at a lot of funerals, and they're right there in the casket. And no matter what they said about them, whether it was good or bad, never seen a corpse get offended. So you can't get offended. And the Bible even says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's difficult. So these are daily tasks. If we'll do them all every day, we'll come to the end of that day and be successful in our Christian life. And then we'll have to do it all over again. Just because you are successful in your Christian life one day, checked all the boxes, read my Bible, prayed, was a good encouragement to people, helped a lady across the street, picked up something that somebody dropped, I encouraged, and you did all that, Satan's not going to say, well, I'm going to leave them alone because they got the Christian life figured out. No, he's coming back the next day. He's going to come after you. So you're going to have to fight him daily. And all these things that we're going to have to do daily, encourage one another, exhort one another, and we're going to have to die daily and try not to get all bent out of shape if something doesn't go our way. And again, the dying daily and the picking up that cross daily is probably the hardest too. If we've done any of the others, it's more of a blessing to us and for us than it is. But these other two, it's going to take work on our part. We're going to have to do it daily. Pick up your cross. Again, one time you might get to heaven and God might explain why He allowed that to come into your life. He might not. But what we can say is, look, I'm going to let it work for good. It may not be good, but I'm going to let it work for good. I'm going to pick up that cross and ask God to help me daily to live my life. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Lord, I just ask You to continue to be with the church. Lord, help it to continue to grow, be a lighthouse in this area. And Lord, I just ask You to help us all, Lord, to realize each member, each individual is responsible for doing these daily tasks. Lord, so that You can add to the church, add strength to the church, add grace to the church, add fruit to the church, Lord, and also add people to the church. And Lord, I just ask You to help us, Lord, to trust You. Lord, help us to give you that cross that we have to bear, that thorn in the flesh that we have to live with. Lord, help us to just give it to You. We might accomplish that, but then tomorrow we're going to have to pick it up again. And we might accomplish it that day with Your help, but then tomorrow we're going to have to pick it up again. And Lord, I just ask You to help us to, Lord, all to have the mindset that we can pray and ask You, Lord, to help us with those things. Help us to die daily and help us to pick up that cross. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. If you need to